It's been a while since I recorded anything, and even longer since episode 3 of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams. So here I am to record part 4. I can't believe I only made it through part of the first 16 pages in 3 audios. Let's see how I do this time. Ford stared at Arthur, who began to think that perhaps he did want to go to the horse and groom after all. "But what about my house?" he asked plaintively. Ford looked across to Mr. Prosser, and suddenly a wicked thought struck him. "He wants to knock your house down?" "Yes, he wants to build..." "And he can't, because you're lying in front of his bulldozer?" "Yes, and..." "I'm sure we can come to some agreement," said Ford. "Excuse me," he shouted. Mr. Prosser, who was arguing with the spokesman for the bulldozer drivers about whether or not Arthur Dent constituted a mental health hazard, and how much they should get paid if he did, looked around. He was surprised and slightly alarmed to see that Arthur had company. "Yes, hello," he called. "Has Mr. Dent come to his senses yet?" "Can we for the moment," called Ford, "assume he hasn't?" "Well," sighed Mr. Prosser. "And can we also assume," said Ford, "that he's going to be staying here all day?" So all your men are going to be standing around all day doing nothing?"
Could be.
"Well, if you're resigned to doing that anyway, you don't actually need him to lie here all the time, do you?"
"What?"
"You don't," said Ford patiently, "actually need him here." Mr. Prosser thought about this.
"Well, no, not as such," he said.
"Not exactly need." Prosser was worried. He thought that one of them wasn't making a lot of sense. Ford said, "So if you would just like to take it as read that he's actually here, then he and I could slip off down to the pub for half an hour. How does that sound?" Mr. Prosser thought it sounded perfectly potty.
"That sounds perfectly reasonable," he said in a reassuring tone of voice, wondering who he was trying to reassure.
"And if you want to pop off for a quick one yourself later on," said Ford, "we can always cover for you in return."
"Thank you very much," said Mr. Prosser, who no longer knew how to play this at all.
"Thank you very much. Yes, that's very kind." He frowned and then smiled and then tried to do both at once, failed, grasped hold of his fur hat and rolled it fitfully round the top of his head. He could only assume that he had just won.
"So," said Ford Prefect, "if you would just like to come over here and lie down."
"What?" said Mr. Prosser.
I'm sorry, said Ford. "Perhaps I hadn't made myself fully clear. Somebody's got to lie in front of the bulldozers, haven't they? Or there won't be anything to stop them from driving up into Mr. Dent's house, will there?"
"What?" said Mr. Prosser again.
"It's very simple," said Ford. "My client, Mr. Dent, says that he will stop lying there in the mud on the sole condition..."
"Oh, that you come and take over from him."
"What are you talking about?" said Arthur.
Ford nudged him with his shoe to be quiet.
"You want me," said Mr. Prosser, spelling out this new thought to himself, "to come and lie there?"
"Yes."
"In front of the bulldozer?"
"Yes."
"Instead of Mr. Dent?"
"Yes."
"In the mud?"
"In, as you say, the mud."
Oh, fuck.
As soon as Mr. Prosser realized that he was substantially the loser after all, it was as if a weight lifted itself off his shoulders. This was more like the world as he knew it. He sighed. "In return for which, you will like to take Mr. Dent with you down to the pub?"
That's it, said Ford. That's it exactly. Mr. Prosser took a few nervous steps forward and stopped. Promise, he said. Promise, said Ford. He turned to Arthur. Come on, he said to him, get up and let the man lie down. Oh, Arthur stood up, feeling as if he was in a dream. Ford beckoned to Prosser, who sadly, awkwardly sat down in the mud. He felt that his whole life was some kind of dream, and he sometimes wondered whose it was and whether they were enjoying it. The mud folded itself round his bottom, his arms, and oozed into his shoes. Ford looked at him severely. Oh, and no sneaky knocking Mr. Dent's house down while he's away, all right, he said. The mere thought, growled Mr. Prosser, hadn't even begun to speculate, he continued, settling himself back, about the merest possibility of crossing my mind. Oh, he saw the bulldozer driver's union representative approaching. Oh, fuck. And let his head sink back and closed his eyes. He was trying to marshal his arguments for proving that he did not now constitute a mental health hazard himself. He was far from certain about this. His mind seemed to be full of noises, horses, smoke, and the stench of blood. This always happened when he felt miserable or put upon, and he'd never been able to explain it to himself. In a high dimension of which we know nothing, the mighty Khan bellowed with rage, but Mr. Prosser only trembled slightly and whimpered. He began to feel... began to feel little pricks of water behind his eyelids. Bureaucratic cock-ups, angry men lying in mud, indecipherable strangers handing out inexplicable humiliation, and an unidentified army of horsemen laughing at him in his head. What a day. What a day. Ford Prefect knew it didn't matter a pair of dingo's kidneys whether Arthur's house got knocked down or not. Arthur remained very worried. But can we trust him, he said. Myself, I'd trust him to the end of the earth, said Ford. Oh, yes, said Arthur, and how far is that? About 12 minutes away, said Ford. Come on, I need a drink. Holy fuck, I actually made it to the end of chapter one. And chapter two. Here's what the Encyclopedia Galactica has to say about alcohol. Oh, fuck. It says that alcohol is a colorless, volatile liquid formed by the fermentation of sugars, and also notes its intoxicating effect on certain carbon-based life forms. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy also mentions alcohol. It says that the best drink in existence is the Pan-Galactic Gargle Blaster. It says that the effect of drinking a Pan-Galactic Gargle Blaster is like having your brain smashed out by a slice of lemon wrapped around a large gold brick. The guide also tells you on which planets the best Pan-Galactic Gargle Blasters are mixed, how much you can expect to pay for one, and what voluntary organizations exist to help you rehabilitate afterwards. Oh. The guide even tells you how you can mix one yourself. Take the juice. Fuck. Mm-hmm. take the juice from one bottle of the old jank spirit, it says. Pour it into one measure of water from the seas of Sanstragnus V. Oh, that's Stragnian water, seawater, it says. Oh, those Sanstragnian fish. Fuck. Oh. Allow 3 cubes of Arcturian Megagen to melt into the mixture. It must be properly iced or the benzene is lost. Allow 4 liters of Thalian marsh gas to bubble through it in memory of all those happy hikers who have died of pleasure in the marshes of Thalia. Over the back of a silver spoon, float a measure of Qualcian hypermint extract, redolent of all the heady odors of the dark Qualcian zone, subtle sweetened. Miss. Drop in the tooth of an Angolan sun tiger. Watch it dissolve, spreading the fires of the Angolan suns deep into the heart of the drink. Sprinkle zamphir. Add an olive. Drink, but very carefully. The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy sells rather better than the Encyclopedia Galactica. Pints of bitter, said Ford Prefect to the barman of the horse and groom. And quickly, please, the world's about to end. The barman of the horse and groom didn't deserve this sort of treatment. He was a dignified old man. He pushed his glasses up his nose and blinked at Ford Prefect. Ford ignored him and stared out the window. So the barman instead looked at Arthur, who shrugged helplessly and said nothing. So the barman said, oh, yes, sir, nice weather for it, and started pulling pints. He tried again. Going to watch the match this afternoon, then? Ford glared round at him. No, no point, he said, and looked back out the window. What's that? Foregone conclusion, then, you reckon, sir? Said the barman. Arsenal without a chance? No, no, said Ford. It's just that the world's about to end. Yes, sir, so he said, said the barman, looking over his glasses, this time at Arthur. Lucky escape for Arsenal if it did. Ford looked back at him, genuinely surprised. No, not really, he said. He frowned. The barman breathed in heavily. And there you are, sir. 6 pints, he said. Oh, fuck. Arthur smiled at him wanly and shrugged again. He turned and smiled wanly at the rest of the pub just in case any of them had heard what was going on. None of them had, and none of them could understand what he was smiling at them for. Fuck. A man sitting next to Ford at the bar looked at the 2 men, looked at the 6 pints, did a swift burst of mental arithmetic, and arrived at an answer he liked, and grinned a stupid, hopeful grin at them. Get off, said Ford. They're ours, giving him a look that would have made an Angolian Sun Tiger get on with what he was doing. Ford slapped a 5-pound note on the bar, and he said, keep the change. What, from a fiver? Thank you, sir. You've got... shit! You've got 10 minutes left to decided to simply walk away for a bit. Ford, said Arthur, would you please tell me what the hell is going on? Oh, fuck. Drink up, said Ford. You've got 3 pints to get through. Oh, fuck. 3 pints, said Arthur, at lunchtime. Fuck. The man next to Ford grinned and nodded happily. Ford ignored him. He said, time is an illusion. Lunchtime doubly so. Oh, fuck. Very deep, said Arthur. You should send that into the Reader's Digest. They've got a page for people like you. Oh, fuck. Fuck. Oh, God, yes. Oh. Drink up. Why 3 pints all of a sudden? Muscle relaxant. You'll need it. Uh-huh. Muscle relaxant? Muscle relaxant. Arthur stared into his beer. Oh, God. Did I do anything wrong today, he said? Or has the world always been like this and I've been too wrapped up in myself to notice? Said Ford, I'll try to explain. How long have we known each other? How long, Arthur thought? About 5 years, maybe 6. He said, most of it seemed to make some kind of sense at the time. All right, said Ford. How would you react if I said, I'm not from Gulliford after all, but from, but from a small planet somewhere in the vicinity of Betelgeuse? Fuck. Oh, God. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Fuck. Shit. I am so done, but there's 3 paragraphs to the end of the chapter, and I'm finishing the chapter. Holy fuck. Oh. Arthur shrugged in a so-so sort of way. I don't know, he said, taking a pull of beer. Why do you think it's the sort of thing you're likely to say? Ford gave up. It really wasn't worth bothering at the moment. What with the world about to end? He just said, drink up. He added perfectly factually, the world's about to end. Arthur gave the rest of the pub another wan smile. The rest of the pub frowned at him. A man waved at him to stop smiling at them and mind his own business. This must be Thursday, said Arthur to himself. sinking low over his beer. I never could get the hang of Thursdays. And that's the end of chapter 2 of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.